Abraham, Abraham, Jacob, Jacob, Moses, Moses. This is the way God calls and interrupts. The double name calling is a pretty good indication that God is going to do something. Not tomorrow or sometime later, but immediately, right now. Saul, Saul, calls the voice. Why do you persecute me? There is blinding light. Saul falls to the ground, and life for Saul is turned upside down. Like Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Saul is called into action right here and right now by God speaking through the Jewish rabbi, the risen Lord Jesus. And that's important. All that is being proclaimed is held by the unconditional love of God showing up in blinding light, the voice of the resurrected Jesus, and through the Acts of Apostles. Our dear Saul doesn't stand a chance. So let's use a wide-angle lens for a moment to see the story of Saul's conversion in context. By the time we reach today's reading from Acts chapter 9, there have already been two significant conversions. One in Acts 8, beginning at chapter 14, which tells the story of the conversion of the Samaritans. The second in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 34, which tells the story of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And my invitation is simply to notice that each conversion leading up to Saul's is an ever-increasing reach into the Gentile world, the non-Jewish world. Notice that in the gospel, according to Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, these are the words that Paul uses. God's unconditional love is moving out into the wider world and touching the lives of both the Jewish people and the Gentile people. It is a remarkable story of transformation and life-giving faith that serves to love and heal the human soul. Already, the book of Acts is speaking to these wonders. And then, Saul, Saul, on the road to Damascus, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and searching for any who belong to the way, men or women, so that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem, Saul is suddenly struck by a light from heaven flashing around him, and he falls to the ground. He cannot see. Saul, Saul. This is the third conversion story in Acts. It's even more provocative, not just because of all the divine special effects, but because of who Saul is. He is an evil, violent man. An enforcer of the high priest charged with destroying the movement called the Way. That movement, of course, meaning those who followed in the way of Jesus. He lands on a similar list as Jacob, a reprobate, and Moses, a murderer. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Calls out the risen Christ. Now we might get lost in the wonder and awe of Saul's conversion, and we should. Where does the wonder and awe of this story point us towards the sacred? It points to the sacred wisdom of God at work in stories surrounding the resurrection of Jesus. It is quite amazing because God has chosen yet another dubious character to fulfill God's unconditional love and compassion moving through Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. The very one who was trying to shut down the Jesus movement was now to be the one who advances it. My goodness. You might then understand the mixed reactions by our dear Ananias, who is called by God to minister to Saul, the very guy who would on any other day throw Ananias in jail. It's crazy making in the wildest divine form. But that's why we need the wide-angle lens to see this story in context. Saul's conversion is one of several. The next conversion happens in chapter 10 to Cornelius, a Roman centurion. But Saul's story of conversion has more profile attached to it. Saul is literally struck down by God's light and the voice of Jesus. He is disabled, disheveled, and dislocated in an instant. This is God meeting Saul. It is not something Saul did, nor for that matter, and by extension, is it something that we do. Conversion is the action of God choosing Saul or us. It is Saul's job and our job to respond. Here's the thing. William Willimon, a respected biblical scholar, says this about conversion, and particularly this story of Saul's conversion. He says, "This sort of conversion involves a journey from self-confident independence toward childlike dependence." Willimon goes on to say, "The one who knows so much must become as one who knows nothing. One who must be led by the hand, healed, and instructed by the very ones he once despised. In this painful, baffling interim, we turn and become as a little child. We progress by regression and go forward by falling backward. Such turning and helpless regression, accompanied by blindness, confusion, speechlessness, hunger, and childishness, is for this particular faith the very beginning of wisdom." In his name, Saul or Paul, one a Hebrew name and the other a Latin, this former enemy will be a bridge between Jew and Gentile. Saul, who will later be named Paul, becomes one of the most influential Christian theologians of his time. And central to his theology is the adoption, I really like that word, the adoption of the Gentiles into the family of God. The God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Moses, the God of Naomi and Ruth. Essentially, it's because of Paul that you and I are standing and sitting and being here today, and why we have both Hebrew and New Testament writings as the keepers of God's wisdom and good news. Acts tells the story of how this comes to be, and we are witness to the power and mystery of God's divine action in the world, inclusive, loving, and compassionate action leading to the healing and salvation for those who choose to follow his path. We must, and this is a word of caution, we must be absolutely clear that despite the political and religious strife affecting Saul's world, the message of God in Jesus, especially in Acts and the Gospel of John, is not, and I repeat, is not anti-Jewish. Susan has written a piece in this morning's bulletin to refer to. I invite you, please, to read it. Not now. But read it after, as a way to support what I'm saying here. It's true that while there were obvious conflicts that for the most part were fear-based and fanned by a divisive Roman regime and its impact on the wider Jewish community, the message of Paul is to offer God's love to all people. Paul's message captured the hearts of many, and while the Gospels and Acts talk of great numbers being added to their midst, this was not an issue of accounting, per se. It is really the text's way of giving testament to something powerful at work in the hearts of many. Indeed, a witness to God's love. So that's the caveat for today's and other passages we're reading in Acts, is to be very clear that when the Gospel in Acts refers to the Jews, it is not to be read in any way anti-Semitic. Saul, Saul. This call of God amidst flashes of light turns the course of history and makes the way possible for love and compassion amidst complicated times. It points to both release and surrender of oneself to the love of God in Christ. Are we called to be like Saul? No, I don't think so. This is Saul's story, as told by Luke. Are we called to live as ones faithful to God's love and the wisdom of Jesus? The answer is yes. Is it easy? No. If it were easy, then wisdom would not be ours, would it? Instead, as the story of Saul tells us, when we open ourselves to the way of Jesus, we will be surprised by God's mysterious tactics and invited to respond in ways that are at once vexing and unexpected. The end of such a story, our response might simply be, wow. Amen.